Amen. We are in Ephesians 6 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight we conclude our journey, our 7-month journey through the book of Ephesians. Next Wednesday night we begin a new journey, exegetical journey, through 1 and 2 Peter. Blessed books. We are going to grow and learn so much through those books. And that will start next week. But for tonight, we start here in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 21. Paul said, "For that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, to Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." So I've entitled the message there from that final verse, "Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." One of those kind of longer titles. But let's pray and look at this passage. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, your presence, your powers. We look into your word this evening. Use it in our lives. Guide us in your truth. We love you and pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So it's a fitting end to the book. We saw in the first 3 chapters where God emphasized our position in Jesus Christ, all the wonderful things that we have in Jesus. And then in the last 3 chapters, God moves over into the practical, how to live for Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that here in a little while. But here at the end, he, as an example, he holds up this man named Tychicus, how's that for a name, who was obviously a great Christian and kind of the embodiment of what Paul was trying to get across in these last 3 chapters of Ephesians, because we see at least 4 wonderful traits in this man that God would want us to try to emulate. Notice, first of all, he refers to him as a beloved brother, but first of all, he says in verse 21, "that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother." And so obviously, he was a loving person. He understood Jesus' command to love one another as Christ also loves us. Remember, Jesus said in John 13, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That's John 13:35. So God expects us to love one another as Christ loved the church. And Tychicus was obviously an example of that love. He also, it says in verse 21, was a faithful minister in the Lord. Now that word minister means to serve. And he was a servant to others. So he was an example of the love of Christ, but he was also an example of the servanthood of Jesus Christ, which that's what God wants from all of us. Let's look at a verse over in Matthew chapter 20, if we could, verse 26. And just be reminded that this is a trait that God wants all believers to have. This servant's heart, or being a servant. Notice Jesus says in Matthew 20:26, "It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." God measures greatness a lot differently than the world. God measures greatness by servanthood. Isn't that interesting? In Galatians 5:13, "Brethren, you've been called under liberty. Only use not liberty to an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." By love serve one another. We are here to serve one another. And Tychicus was an example of a believer who did just that. He had a love for God's people, and it came out in his willingness to be a servant to others, as Paul says, a faithful minister in the Lord. He wants the same from us. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, "and make known to you all things." So not only was he a loving brother and had a servant's heart, but he was a teacher as well. He had been left there by Paul to teach them the things of God. Now, this is the greatest part of the Great Commission, isn't it? Most Christians know the first 2 parts of the Great Commission, teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But the next verse in Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Reach them for the Lord, baptize them, and then teach them the Word of God. And Tychicus was an example of somebody who took that seriously. It says, he will make known to you all things. So his desire was to see God's people growing in the things of God. And he accomplished that by teaching. The Bible talks about admonishing one another. So we're not just talking about sitting down at a table and going through the Bible together. But when the Bible tells us that we're to admonish one another in Romans chapter 12 and other places, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what does he mean? It means encourage, warn. That's what admonish means. It means to warn with instruction. To look for opportunities to be a blessing and a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That verse most of us know about singing in Colossians 3. It says, sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It goes on to say, and admonishing one another. In Colossians 3:16. So, Tychicus was, Paul holding him up as someone who emulated what he was trying to get across in these last three chapters. He was a loving brother. He was a faithful minister. And he was a teacher. And then he concludes by saying in verse 22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Paul said a lot about this man in two verses, didn't he? That he was a beloved brother, that he was a faithful minister, that he made known unto them all things, and then lastly, that he comforted their hearts. And so Tychicus took it seriously, this ministry of comforting one another. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, if you would, just as one example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, where the Bible talks about how God is our comforter, and He is, primarily in the person of the Holy Ghost. But, you know, often when we think of that, when we think about God comforting God's children, we think of it more in the abstract, don't we? Of God kind of doing it invisibly. But I believe that a lot of the comfort that God gives to God's people is through God's people. He uses God's people as His instruments. Notice 2 Corinthians 1:4. We'll start at verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So He's the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Passing it on. It's kind of like the promise about giving in Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Right? Again, a lot of times we think about that concept in the abstract. Give and it shall be given unto you. But if you read on down in the verse, it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The last part of the verse says, shall men give into your bosom. So give and it shall be given unto you, but it doesn't fall out of the sky. God uses people to bless people. That's how He works. God gives us gifts so we can minister to one another. God gives us men like Tychicus, and uses them as a conduit of His love, of His teaching, of His comfort. And so he was a great embodiment of what the Lord was getting across in these last three chapters. And Paul concludes there in verse 24 by saying, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. What an interesting thing to say. In sincerity. Every Christian would say, well, of course I love Jesus in sincerity. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if our love is sincere, it's going to be evident through obedience. That's loving Jesus Christ in sincerity. Because how do we love Jesus? Loving Jesus isn't coming to church and raising our hands in the air and praising God. That's praise. Loving Jesus is obedience. Jesus says so himself. Matter of fact, in 1 John, the Bible says, "This is the love of God, that you keep his commandments." So love is what we do for Jesus. And Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 are great examples of things that God wants us to do to love Jesus. Let me just read a couple off for you. This is just in Ephesians. Chapter 4 and 5, he gave 11 character traits in those two chapters that God wants us to emulate of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we can love Jesus in sincerity is to do those 11 things. I'll read them to you. You'll be able to find them. They're in chapters 4 and 5. Meekness, lowliness, long-suffering, forbearance, generosity, kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving, loving, submissive, and thankful. Wow. Is that enough to keep us busy? Those 11 things. Those are just in chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians. Those 11 traits that God wants us to have. Now, in chapters 4 and 5, he also gave us some behavioral things of ways to show that we love Jesus. Let me show you a couple examples. Look at chapter 4, verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth." So one of the things, one of the ways we can show Jesus our love and sincerity is to always tell the truth. He says in 4:26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Don't let anger cause you to sin. Now, anger isn't sin in of itself, but what we do with our anger can become sin. And God says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, get it dealt with today. Don't hold a grudge. Don't hold bitterness. 4:29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So God wants our speech to always be in a way that will be a minister and a help. Chapter 5:15, I know some of the young ladies memorized this passage. It says, "Walk circumspectly." What's that mean? Walk wisely. And then in verse 5:16, it says, "Redeeming the time." Don't waste time. Redeem it. Buy it back. Use it for God. So he doesn't leave us in the dark about how to love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He gives us some character traits. He gives us some behavioral things. And then he finishes talking about our spiritual walk in 4, 5, and 6. Notice 4:23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." How's that happen with the Word of God? 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's amazing how much of this is in Ephesians, isn't it? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be filled with the Spirit. And then we read a couple weeks ago, 6:10, "Be strong in the Lord." And then in 6:13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God." And then 6:18, "Praying always." Wow, it's like the whole spiritual walk package in a couple of chapters. Be filled with the Spirit. Be renewed with the Word of God. Be a person of prayer. Put on the whole armor of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. All of this. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, God says this is how you'll behave. And he holds up Tukikos, I may be saying that wrong, but as a great example of someone who loved Jesus Christ in sincerity and whom God used as a conduit of his love, of his comfort, of his teaching, of his servanthood to touch the people there at the church in Ephesus. He was a beloved brother, a faithful minister. He was a teacher. And he was a comforter. What a blessing. And so this is what God wants from us. To take this great foundation of what we've been given in Jesus Christ through our salvation in him. Praise God we have it. Stand on it. and then use it to serve God. Use it to be this kind of a person. Make a difference in the lives of others. That's what God wants from those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.